Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Praise the Lord. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 12. And I want to teach some more on meditation, not levitation, meditation. You know, sometimes people have, because there's so much, really, the world has not just gotten into the church, but just in general, the way people think sometimes is very natural. And so you'll have whole sections of even Christianity where they don't even use the word meditation because it's has a connotation associated with, things that are inappropriate for Christians to be participating in. And so they won't even go there. But I'm going to give you multiple scriptures that talk about meditating the word. And it's important to learn how to meditate. And what I mean by that is I don't mean that you're going to sit somewhere on a rug, cross your legs, and close your eyes and put your hands like this and burn some incense and hum with a towel wrapped around your head. That's not what I'm talking about, all right? Meditation is thinking, simply put. And so we're talking about how to develop a righteousness consciousness, or I'll say it this way, how to develop a righteous mindset, okay? Because you can have a reality in the spirit in your life and it not be a reality in your daily life. And this is important to understand because you need to, if you're going to walk in all that God has for you, you're going to have to obey and walk or live your life in such a way that He has designed it for. And so, let's go to, I know I have you in Romans 12 too, but I like to dance around sometimes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we looked at this before, but I want to, reiterate it again because it's important for you to understand. You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. Okay? You are a spirit, you possess a soul, and you live in a body. So you are not your body. In fact, you're going to get a new one. How many are like, yes, I'll take the upgrade. Okay? All right? Some of you young people are like, no, I like my body. Well, we'll hang around and let you get a little older and... We do, how many know this, that divine healing, what I mean by that is I mean that your body, God keeps your body in good working order until you're done on this earth, okay? And that's what we should be thinking in regards to that. Our glorified bodies are promised, they're coming, okay? And you'll like your upgrade. Amen. The accounts that I've read of people that have, you know, seen maybe and gone and the Lord's granted them to see heaven or visit with a relative or something like that, or what are called, some people have gone through what are called NDEs, near-death experiences, and they've sometimes seen relatives, and they say they look about 30. I looked good at 30. I look good at 30 plus glorified at 30. Whew. I mean, I got gray coming in right here, but I'm going to look so good in heaven. You're going to come up to me and go, boy, you were right. You do look much better. Okay. All right. So you are a spirit. You have a soul. Your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. All right. So I'm going to say this, and I want you to hear it, and this will help you understand it. Your brain is not your mind. Your brain is the physical organ that your mind functions through. All right? So your physical heart is not your spirit. So when the Bible talks about heart, you have to read the context to see what it's saying. Because the Bible says He takes out of us a stony heart and puts in us a heart of what? Flesh. But that's not talking about your physical heart. That's talking about the spirit of death is removed and the Holy Spirit, or the spirit of life, is placed within you. In other words, when you're born again, the very nature, the breath of God that was breathed into Adam in the beginning is breathed into you. Only it's the updated version. How many ever had to update your computer before? All right? Restart, right? Well, that's what being born again was. It was the restart. It was the latest version of the victory of God in humanity. So in other words, you received the very nature of God, the Holy Spirit, with all the victories that Christ purchased. And they were placed on the inside of you. You went from a place of unrighteousness to a place of righteousness in Christ Jesus. And we know this, that righteousness has to do with the word justified. Justified means acceptable, guiltless, and innocent. Oh, yay. That makes me happy. Before the Father, I am innocent. And people, sometimes people, you know, you have people around you, and you know people, and they know you, and they go, "Yo, I know that person. They're not innocent." But in the Spirit, in Christ, in relationship to Father God, they are guiltless. So whatever you think about it, whatever I think about it, doesn't really matter. It's what God said about it. Now, we can all, how many know it's a good idea not to sin? Okay, sin has a payment. It's just like seed time and harvest here in the earth. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap from the flesh what? Corruption, right? Destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap from the Spirit everlasting life. And that's talking about here in this life. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, I like the way this says it. It says, therefore, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a what? A new creation. That actually has to do with something that never existed before. So you're just not a renovated couch. You're a brand new one. Amen? Brand new in Jesus. Hallelujah. That's good news. So then it goes on to say this, old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And now all things are of what? God. Who did what? What did he do? He reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. So how were you brought into union with God the Father? Through Jesus Christ. Through your own works, through your own ability, through your own efforts. You did it because you've done so many good things, you finally got there. You finally achieved utopia. God-like status. No. The Bible clearly teaches, Paul said it, he said, where is boasting then? It is excluded. Why? Because of the law of works? No, because of the law of faith. In other words, I put my faith in Jesus, and when I did that, I was saying, I'd like to exchange with the Son of God my life for his. Because he put it in the contract that according to faith, he could exchange his with mine if I would believe. And then what faith did in that action, it opens up the door to the Spirit of God to where then he comes into my heart, removes the stone out and puts the flesh in, or removes the spirit of death of the sin nature out and then puts in the spirit of the resurrection. Now watch, you would be much happier if you were conscious in your mind daily, minute by minute, hour by hour, of the fact that Jesus Christ, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the very Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of you 24/7. You would have less concerns in your life because you'd cast your care over on the Lord, because he what? He cares for you. And that word cares means affectionately. Come on, you need to imagine God going, oh, I just love you. I just love it. You know, people struggle with this, especially people with strong religious backgrounds, because they think God's in heaven with lightning bolts in his eyeballs, just in a bad mood. You know, his hair's all messed up. He woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and he's just waiting for you to make your mistake. And when he does, all of his wrath. Is that not preached? My Bible says in John 3, 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? And then it says this, the next verse says, he did not send his son into the world to, thank you, Lord. Now, is there consequence for sin? Sure there is. But it's built into the system. Amen. Okay, if I choose to disobey God, who am I choosing to obey? Well, Satan has a payment system. And so if I engage with him, death will be the byproduct. Now, people think, well, you're saying I'm sin, I'm just going to die. Well, if that was the case, there'd be a lot of dead people sitting around. Or like bodies just laying around, right? Because, I mean, chances are somebody will sin before they get to their car after the service is over. And what about all the people that aren't even trying? I mean, it'd just be mass, you know? The people who think the population is too high would be like, see, I told you. So they would be happy. But sin, this death that it's talking about is incipient death, which means it works and works and works over time. So when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord told him, he said, if you eat of that tree, you will what? You will die. But if you look at it in the Hebrew word, it actually says, in dying, you will die. If you want a description of how that would work, somebody's thinking about this good. So I'm going to give you, go to the book of James and look at what James wrote. This is for your own time later, because I'm going to move on from this point. Look at what James wrote on how sin grows and produces. You'll see the process of in dying you will die. It takes time for it to develop, but then once it gives birth, it produces death. Okay? So that's how sin operates. Well, I don't want to have, as a righteous person, born again, a new creation, one who's in Christ, who's been reconciled to the Lord, I don't want to have a mindset of death. I want to have a mindset of resurrection. A mindset of righteousness. Now, let me read to you verse number 21. It says this, for he, God, made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. But who's the in him at the end? Well, it could be God, but I think it's Christ. But either way, in Christ, you and I receive the righteousness of God. Wow. That means when I pray, the Lord, it's as if the Lord's hearing Jesus pray. Ooh, that'll stir a religious spirit right there. That thought. Because you know why? You know what people are thinking when I say that? They're thinking I'm saying I'm Jesus. No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that at all. If I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, nowhere else, that means because of Christ's work, which I yield and submit to, when I'm in fellowship with the Father, it's as if Jesus, well, I'll just put it this way. He is our intercessor 24/7. He is your intercessor 24/7. So even when you go to pray and you feel like, I don't think that prayer, I think it came out of my mouth and went on the floor in front of me. I don't feel, no. There are legalities involved. In the spirit, the Father heard you. And so if the enemy can get you out of faith, he'll hinder you from receiving. It won't be that God didn't do his part. It's that we didn't do our part. And then the answer can't get to where it needs to be. A lot of times people blame stuff on God. It's not his fault at all. It's ours. They actually make God's responsibility what he made ours. It's 100% that way. And we got to watch out for that. But we are now righteous in Christ Jesus. So practice this with me. Say, I am righteous in Christ Jesus. That means your prayers produce power. James 5 says so. It says the fervent, this is the Amplified. I like the Amplified. It just means more words. It's the woman Bible. That's all right. It's just a fact. It's okay. It's just the truth. But I do like it. It says the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man, and that just means a righteous person, makes tremendous power available, dynamic, and it's working. Well, when did you become righteous? When you were born again. So when you pray, you change things as a child of God. Amen. I need you to believe that. Amen. The Lord needs you to believe that. So how does changing a change in our thinking take place? Let's go back to Romans, to your left. I'm doing good with my lefts and rights today. Not getting them confused. Praise the Lord. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So there's something you're supposed to do with your body. Holy and acceptable God, to God, which is your reasonable service, and that actually means it's your worship, okay? Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. So should the world shape your thinking? When you look at things in the world, and there's debates over moral issues. There's debates over sexuality. There's debates over political things. There's debates over all of these things, right? Should you think the way an unsaved person does? You should think the way a saved person does, right? Now, depending on your spiritual development, you could be thinking like the world still if you're young in the Lord. And you know what? There's no condemnation to you. You're growing, you're developing. Now, if you've been saved actively for years and you're actively staying away from the Bible, then you need to repent. And that what I mean by that is I don't mean you need to fall down on the ground and cry and, you know, have the carpet soak up all your tears and snot. That's not what I mean by repent. I mean change the way you're doing things. Repentance means make a 180. Stop doing it that way and start doing it God's way. Amen? And then you won't feel so down or so disconnected from the Lord, because when you condemn your own heart, you cause problems for yourself. So my thinking should be like God's thinking. Amen? All right, so it goes on to say this, I am to be not to be conformed to this world, second half of the verse here, but to be transformed by the what? Renewing of my mind. I said this in the first service, not the removal of the mind, the renewal of the mind. Okay? The renewal of the mind. You know God is okay with you thinking? Do you know most of your family would be okay with it too? Right? They would be okay with you thinking. All right, so the renewing of your mind, that you may prove, what are we gonna prove? What are we gonna walk out? So think of prove like, I'm gonna live this out. What am I gonna live out? I'm gonna live out the good will of God. I'm gonna live out the acceptable will of God. And then I'm gonna move to what? The perfect will of God. So if you're going to walk in God's perfect will, you have to have your mind changed to the reality of what he says in his word concerning you. And he says you've been made righteous. Hallelujah. So it should be in your mind that you've been made righteous by Christ. It should be in your mind that you've been purified by the blood. You've been made holy. You've been sanctified in him. And then when it gets into your mind and into your thinking, as we're going to look at, you meditate on those truths, then it begins to come out of your mouth. You don't talk the way others do, even other believers who don't know who they are in Christ. You talk differently. You speak differently. And we know from the book of James that when you speak differently, then you walk differently. So you don't, you know, you may have come from a, ooh, I got money, let's spend it all. Who cares about the bills? All right. But when you get a righteous mindset, you go, ooh, I got, nope, it's not my money, it's the Lord's money. When you get a righteous mindset, you get a stewardship mindset. And you begin to look at things differently. You don't begin when a righteous mindset, a mindset of the reality of Christ within you is penetrating and taking over. It's transforming the way you think. Your thinking goes from temporal to eternal. And you just don't think about everything you want to do. You all of a sudden step back and do what the Proverbs say. You acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways. In everything, you go back to the Father, just like Jesus did when he was on the earth. It says he only did what the Father did, and he only said what the Father said. I wonder how many less words we'd have in a day if we checked with the Lord before we said everything we were about to say. But what is that? That's a righteous mindset. I'm in unity and fellowship with God. I've been made guiltless before him by Christ. And since Christ lives in me and I live in him, and we have this open oneness, this unity, this peace between the Father and me, I'm going to go ahead and live in that oneness in my everyday life. In other words, you're going to grow from a good place in the manifestation of the Lord in your life to an acceptable place, to a perfect place. Now, I'm not saying you'll do everything perfectly. That word perfect means whole. It means sound. It means, it's like when the Lord talks about planting the seed of the word in certain ground. He talks about there'll be a harvest of 30, 60, and 100-fold. How many want the Lord operating in your life at 100-fold in every area? I want that. That's what I'm after. That's what I want in every area of my life. I want 100-fold in my marriage, 100-fold in my family, 100-fold with my kids, 100-fold with my future grandkids. I'm speaking them by faith. I already have plans on how I'm going to teach them about the Lord. 100%, I pray about it. I'm going to show them how to be better than me and not make the mistakes that I made. Why? Got a righteous mindset. I want 100-fold in the church. I want 100-fold in my finances. I want 100-fold in my body. I want 100-fold in this city. I want souls saved and discipled 100-fold. In other words, everything we're supposed to do as a church in this city. And then we'll move out from Jerusalem after that. Glory to God. How they did it in the Bible. You want a righteous mindset. A righteous mindset assists the believer in walking in all of God's will. So how do we do that? We meditate. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, the Old Testament. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. The Lord told Joshua, there, this is the children of Israel. A whole generation had died because of unbelief and fear. And now Joshua, Moses is dead. And now Joshua has to take all the children of Israel into the promised land. All right, so the prophecy and the promise skipped a generation because that generation, the first generation, rebelled. I don't want to do that. I want to be the generation that goes in. Amen? How about you? Amen? All right, so it says this in Joshua 1:8. What did the Lord tell Joshua to do before he went to battle to take the land? He said, this book of the law shall what? Not depart from your mouth. But you shall, day and night, whoo. You know, people think, how am I going to do that day and night? You can meditate day and night. If the Bible tells you to do it, you can do it. Amen? With the help of the Lord. So he says this, meditate day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way what? And have what? Good success. How many want prosperous, good success in your life? You know, there's nothing wrong with that. If the Lord desires that for you, then which he did because he promised it here, but what did he say the linchpin was? What was one of the key factors in that? You need to meditate in his word day and night. Day and night. Well, I don't know if I can do that. Well, don't start out by disagreeing with God. Start out by agreeing with him and then moving accordingly with him and grow in your spiritual development over time. But you have to put disciplines in to do that. The word meditate in the Hebrew means this. It means to imagine. It means to study. It means to talk about or to speak. It means to devise or to plot. Now, normally we think of those words in a negative connotation, but you can devise good. You know, you can plot good. You can do it. You can plot good. You can plot good and think good. What is that? You're meditating on it. The idea presented is of mental exercise, planning, and is often accompanied by low talking. Everybody here talks to themselves. Everybody watching online, you talk to yourself. Some of you had full conversations by yourself in the car before you got here. Well, if I do that, I'm from the hand, right over there. Don't, how many have ever done this? I'll insert my name. Don't do that, Sean. Or, why'd you do that? You ask yourself the question. Well, that's not totally abnormal. It's actually a form of meditation. You just need to meditate on the right thing. Amen. If you'll meditate on what God said about you and to you, you'll begin to produce, it will begin to produce harvest in your life. Because whatever you think on, whatever you devise, whatever you plot, whatever you meditate on will become your words. And your words always become your actions. Always. Read the book of James. It's right in there. James was a great pastor. He's like, you people need to think right, so you'll speak right, and then you'll do right. You know, he was just real plain. But that's what we need to do. You need to meditate. Okay, is there meditation in the Bible? Psalms chapter 1. Let's go to back to Psalms. I want to give you some scriptures just so you know I'm not making it up. How many know it's a good idea if you're going to teach something that the Bible says that you have something the Bible says? Right? I know that sounds funny, but it's true. Psalms 1, verse 1 and 2. Blessed is the man. What is he? He's blessed who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And you could say the word of God there. And in the law, in that law, or in his word, he does what? Day and, well, does that sound like Joshua 1:8? It does to me. All right, let's go over to Psalms. Actually, let's go to Genesis chapter 24. The book of beginnings. Genesis chapter 24. I think I gave this one to you. If it should be in there, Bowen. Genesis chapter 24 and verse 63. It says this, and Isaac, this is Abraham's son Isaac, went out to what? He went out to what? To meditate in the field in the evening. Now, I've noticed this about meditation, the meditation verses, especially in the Psalms and stuff, it talks about doing it a lot at night because all your work is done through the day, right? You can think and quote scripture during the day, but how many know you still have a job to do? You know, most of you probably have a job or you're in school, whatever it is, but you have stuff you're doing. But every once in a while, it should be common for believers every so often to just random, no reason at all, just go, praise the Lord, glory to God. I'm so blessed. You know why people don't? Because their faith is just little. It's just soft. Most of the day, most people are talking about what's going on around them and what they feel. They're not living in the Spirit at all. But we at Faith Family Church live in the Spirit. Amen? And we need to be a good example for other believers. Every once in a while, you should just say glory to God. I mean, say it when you feel like 40 miles of muddy road. That was too Texas for some of you. I heard a guy say one time, say it when you feel lower than a snake's belly in a wagon rut. I'm like, that is so Texas. That ain't Montana. I mean, when you just feel like God's not there. The enemies went in. You should just stand up and go, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm saved. Glory to God. What is that? That's a part of meditation. You can do it low talking. You ever have problems pile up on you? The devil tries the pile up effect. Have you ever noticed that? If you thought you had one problem, then you got seven. In the midst of that, you need to go, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now, you're not thanking him because the devil's trying to beat on you. You're thanking him because he's your deliverer. Amen. He's going to work it all out. Amen. And you just need to say, praise the Lord. And that's part of meditation. So we see here Isaac was a thinker. He was a meditator. He meditated on the promises of God. Let's go back to Psalms chapter 4. Psalms chapter 4, verse number 4. You guys have that one? You should have that one. Psalms chapter 4, verse, there it is right there. It says, be angry and what? Do not. Okay, so you can be angry, just stop sinning in it. Okay? Be angry and do not sin. And then he says what? Meditate within your heart on your bed. And then it says what? And be still. Some people say, I just can't get my mind to settle down. The Bible tells you to be still. What you have developed is a rapid thinking mind. You need to develop through meditation a calming mind. You need to control your thoughts. People don't like this. You know why? Because in our culture, they tell you you can't. Actually, they tell you you can't so much that you need medication to do it. Now, I'm not against medication if you need it. If you legit need it, then take it. But you should be pushing toward this ruling your mind. Because there's no side effects here. Actually, there is. It's just complete peace, soundness, rest. Come on, if you have to take medication for whatever situation you're in, that's fine. But believe God to come out of it, and believe one day you'll go to your doctor and say, I don't need that no more. Amen? And if you have a good doctor, they'll go, awesome. That's great. I'm glad. Amen? And meditate. What am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to meditate on my bed at night. You can meditate on whatever you want. All right, I'll put it this way. Your brain is like a computer. Whatever you feed it, it will rehearse. Amen. It will. Okay, let's look at another one. I need to give you some more here. Psalm 63:6. I'll do my best not to comment. We'll see if it happens. I'm telling you what, I don't know how to necessarily explain it, but when I read these scriptures, I could have nothing as far as understanding about a scripture, but the moment I get up here and I'm teaching it, all of a sudden all these illustrations come. It's just part of the gift. It's an interesting thing. But anyway, Psalms chapter 63, verse number 6 says this, when I remember you on my what? Bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. So at night, meditate on the word. Turn off your feeds. Whether it be your TV, maybe it's a TV, or younger generations, it's social media, right? Turn those off and just lay on your bed and be quiet. You know what usually starts out? Usually when you first turn everything off and there's nothing to do, there's this chatter in your mind. How many have experienced this before? And it's rah, 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 but the longer you sit there, the quieter it gets. And eventually you'll get like this. Your mind will calm down. We'll get to a verse here. And your spirit will begin to speak. The Holy Spirit within you. And he'll go, hey, you know this problem? Do this. Many times people aren't hearing the Holy Spirit because their soul is so active. It's not that you can't hear. It's that your soul is moving way too much. There's too much in it causing chaos. Does that make sense? All right, let's go to Psalm 77. Psalm 77, verse 12. Well, you are listening so well. Thank you. All right. Psalm 77, verse 11 and then 12. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old, and I will also meditate on all your work. Now watch this, and talk of your deeds. Thinking and speaking are tied together. All right? Psalms 119. Oh, this one you could go forever on. How many have read Psalms 119? It's so many verses long. I think it is the longest chapter in the Bible. Psalms 119, verse 15 says this: I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Verse 16, I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Skip down to verse 27 in Psalms 119. Make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. Should you be thinking about destruction or God's wonderful works? Ooh, your faith will skyrocket if you do that. All right, Psalms 119, verse 48. My hands also will I lift up to your commandments. Boy, that's an interesting statement. It's like they're raising their hands to the word. Isn't that good? The word is, commandments. You look at this is Jesus, all right? So he goes on to say, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. Somebody say this, I love the word of God. And I will meditate on your statutes, he says. Now skip down to verse 78, same chapter. Psalms 119, verse 78, he said, let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Did he say, I will meditate on how people wronged me? Oh, there's a truth here, a freeing truth. Well, they wronged me, and now I can't become what I'm supposed to. You'll never become what you're supposed to if you focus there. But if you believe God, he will pull you up past people that said you'd never amount to anything. Amen. But you have to do it from the motivation of love for God, not hate for people. And a lot of people get that messed up because they meditate on the wrong thing. All right. Verse 148, my eyes awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Go to Psalms 143, verse 5. Mark, you can come if you would, please, sir. We're going to wrap this service up. You guys doing good? I know I'm giving you scripture here, but I can't think of a better way to help you than give you the word. Psalms 143, verse number 5 says this, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I love this word. I saw this morning. The psalmist said, I muse on the works of your hands. He muses on them. You know what that means? He talks about them. He mutters on them. He's like, man, God healed me of this, and God delivered me from that, and God saved me from this, and God blessed me here, and he gave me a victory here, and he gave me righteousness, and he put within me a strength for truth and life. He gave me stamina to endure. The generations after me will be blessed. In other words, he's thinking about God's old works, and he's thinking about how that affected him now, but then also it gives him hope and strength for the future. So imagine meditating your righteous position over and over and over and over again until where your thoughts are just consumed with the very reality that you and God have been intertwined into one. I wonder if that'll affect your body. I wonder if it'll affect your prayer life. I wonder if it'll affect your finances. I wonder if it'll affect the generations after you, your kids, your grandkids, and their kids. I am in the best position in all the world. Nobody on the planet is in a better position than me. I am in a better position than every world leader, unless they're in Christ. Go ahead, run. People, I'm gonna become the greatest leader in all the world, and I'm going to lead the whole world. Big deal. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I've already moved up on past the world. I'm out into eternity already. I have a righteousness consciousness, so that even when I come in contact with those that are high ranking in the world, I am unimpressed. I'm not disrespectful, but I'm unimpressed. How could I be impressed with a measly little mansion here in the world when I'm seated next to the Father? I just don't get it. I don't get it. But how does that mindset come about? Years, hours, minutes, days, thinking, rehearsing, meditating. Do you know I'm eternal? So are you. Whether you're saved or not, I am going to live forever. Yes, because I know where I'm going. I'm so excited about it. I mean, I have to be careful how much I think about it, because I know I got to do things here. What is that? A righteousness consciousness. A righteous mindset. When God looks at you and me, He sees the complete work of Christ. He sees us through the blood. Which means you're guiltless. Amen. Man, you can, it'll make you relax. Maybe you're in financial trouble. Pray. You're a child of God, pray. He's got you. And don't limit how He can bring it to you. Many times it looks like a J-O-B. That's all right. Hallelujah. The Lord will give you strength to do the job. He'll give you brightness of mind to do the job. Amen? Glory to God. You'll have satisfaction in your job. Come on. That's so good. People say, oh, what about my, you know, young people to get nervous, you know. What if I don't find my spouse? Stop saying that. Don't ever say that. Don't. You're telling me God doesn't know where you are? Listen, you think people know your cell number? God knows your cell number. Don't ever say, oh, there are no good guys out there anymore, the girls, you know. Oh, there are no good guys. That's a lie. God is hand shaping and forming your perfect partner. And what I mean by that is they're not going to do everything you just like. They're going to love God first, and you're going to love God first, and then you're going to come to God, come together, and God, you're going to love God together. And then you're going to produce little itty-bitty yous that are going to love God also. Amen. Don't speak death over yourself. You're righteous. Speak life. Life. Life in Christ. My family will fulfill the full call of God on their life, and they will serve the Lord all the days of their life, and I will be in eternity with them in heaven forever. And anything I screwed up here, I'll fix it there. If you even remember it. Well, my dad passed away a few years ago, way too early. He shouldn't have, but he did. And people, oh, you so sorry for your loss. And I know what they're saying. I didn't lose him. Guys, I did not lose him. I know exactly where he is. I know where my older sister is, who I never met because she died before she was ever born. I have an older sister. So I don't just have four siblings in the family. We have five. Because God's got that kid. And I haven't been able to torture her yet, so I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.